beautiful hymns. Speaking of the piano, the angels in heaven are rejoicing this morning. Here a couple of days ago, we had a dear friend of ours that passed away, Karen Hempen. And Karen, she even convinced me one time to do a solo. And she just did such a beautiful job and has fought an illness now for many years. And the Lord took her home a couple days ago. And so we just praise and rejoice that she's in the presence of the Lord right now. Please take your Bibles out and turn with me. We're going to go, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. And then we're going to go back to Joshua. Back to Joshua. Hebrews chapter 11. The 30th verse, the faith chapter. Now, you'll notice that we're going to read the 30th verse there, and it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And the title there, you'll have Joshua in Israel. And I want you to notice that because we have jumped from Moses crossing the Red Sea to Joshua. When I say jumped, what's missing? The Jordan River. And even before that, Jim, we're missing something here. From Moses crossing the Red Sea, we're missing 40 years in the wilderness, and there's one very good reason why. Because this is the faith chapter. And for 40 years, the nation of Israel was not walking by faith. They were unbelieving during that 40 years. The Lord just skipped over that 40-year period. Let's read once again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this study. So wonderful, Father, to be able to open your precious word, New Testament and Old Testament alike, and go back and go through these wonderful stories. Many of these stories that we heard and were told when we were little. We opened the little books up and saw the wall of Jericho falling down. And Father, please just guide and lead us and show us this walk of faith that we have here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go back, Joshua. Go back to Joshua. We're going to begin with the 5th chapter, verse 13, because there's something there that you've got to see before we get to the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. So Joshua chapter 5, again, those 40 years that are missing here are years of unbelief, of years of complaining, of years of murmuring. And I think there's something there for us to see that our life is not wasted in those years. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Listen very carefully. These verses are tremendous. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or against us? And he said, nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I think these verses of Scripture prepare us, because as Jim said, we didn't have the crossing of the Jordan. There are several times in the Scripture when we have the crossing of the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted, and they walked across the Red Sea on dry land. But who talks about the parting of the Jordan River and crossing on dry land? You don't ever hear about that. And so, but that's what took place after the departure of Moses, and I believe that Moses died, and I believe God buried Moses. I think he took care of that himself. And the command and power was given unto Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. And so we begin this walk now, and we come across, and we cross the Jordan River. And the first obstacle that we find, the first problem that we run into, is this city, this powerful city, this walled city, this mighty city of Jericho. It's the very first thing that they find. So they have to deal with that before they can go any further. And I'm sure in Joshua's mind, here we go. I am now leading 2.5 or 3 million people across this land into a land that our God has promised to us. But in that promise, also, we have to fight. We have to destroy the enemies of that land. And so here we come. And Joshua stands there, and I'm sure that Joshua was concerned. He was concerned about, how are we going to do this? This is a walled city. And as soon as we read this here, let me just read verse 1 of chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. The doors, the gates were shut. They had locked themselves inside the walls of this mighty city because they feared Israel. They feared Israel. Joshua is wondering, how are we going to defeat the enemy, remove the walls, and destroy the people that are inside the city walls of Jericho? I've heard different discussions. Some say that it was somewhere about an 8 or 6 to 8, up to maybe 10 acres was the city. That was the wall that was around it. If you go back through the history books, you find that there were actually a couple of walls, because the city of Jericho is a very old city, and it was rebuilt, and so they came into the land and again rebuilt these walls, put mighty doors at the walls to where no one could come or go. And next week we'll be talking about Rahab and going back into the spies going in. We'll look at that next week. But right now we're looking at Joshua and the thoughts that Joshua had and wondering how we're going to do this. And all of a sudden, can you imagine this? Can you imagine? He looks forward and here is this mighty man standing, sword raised. What was Joshua's question? Are you for me or are you against me? I want to know. And he immediately said, I'm of the Lord's army. And it's actually the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's who it is. It's a pre-incarnate Christ. He's standing there holding a sword. And he's telling Joshua, I'm going to show you how you're going to do this. I'm going to explain to you how we're going to do this. Well, what did Joshua do? And the reason that we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ is because of what Joshua did and what the angel of the Lord didn't do. In other scripture verses, man has bowed to the angels and they tell him not to. But here, Joshua bows to the ground. And something else that we have here that you never hear about, you know, Moses up on Mount Sinai, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. You never hear that about Joshua. And he is told to do the same. And because he's in the presence of God right there. So that's where we start. And I could not move forwards without having you see that from Joshua 5:13 through 15. And it's just a tremendous scripture. And I can just see that, you know, him standing there. So now we come to chapter 6. Of Joshua. And now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The doors were shut. They were confined to this city. They weren't going anywhere. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. He said, don't worry, Joshua. I have given you this city. I've given you this city. Joshua has no means of going into there. He has no means of penetrating the walls, the gates. There, and it explains there, and it says, and mighty men of valor. Look at what the Lord has done. The Lord has scared these people into that city. Why didn't they come out and fight against them? The Lord placed a fear in them, and they got into the walled city, and they shut their gates, and they thought, okay, maybe we'll be all right. Maybe we'll be all right. And so, verse 3. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. All right. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great voice, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now, so we begin here. We've met the captain of the hosts. The captain of hosts is the captain of our salvation. It is Jehovah, the mighty deliverer. And so the first obstacle that we have here is the city of Jericho. We're needing to deal with this mighty city and the walled city of Jericho. And so the people are looking forward from their camp in Gilgal, and they're about to take possession of their inheritance that God has blessed them with. It's a gift that God had given them, the land of Canaan. But the first thing they have to deal with here, the first thing they have to do is to take this city of Jericho. That's the first thing that's there. Now, a lot of people ask, why did God tell the nation of Israel to kill man, woman, child, many times even the beasts? To the world, that looks very cruel. Why would you want to kill the children? Why would you want to kill the beasts? God knows the wicked heart. For over 400 years, the land of Canaan, including Jericho, has known the Word of God. That's when Abraham got there. So they have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They have the witness of all those folks that lived in that land concerning the God of Abraham. But instead of them listening and being obedient to that, they turned to all their idols and all their wickedness. This city, Jericho, is a type of the world. And when God's people enters the world should go away. We should influence the world. There's the problem today. In all the wickedness that's going on in this world today, it is the absence of God. And the absence of God is the absence of the witness that we should be. We should be giving a witness to this world. We should not bow down to allow the world to abort and kill millions of babies. We should stand up. We should stand true to the Word of God. The Word of God tells us very clearly that He made man and He made woman. However you're born is how you're born. And yet the world has perverted the home and destroyed the home. And once He's destroyed the home, He's destroyed the church. And it just continues down the line. And so the wickedness that what man and the world saw in the land of Canaan when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was there, they had long forgotten. And we're going to go to a verse of Scripture, because if we go back here to Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24 and 26, Leviticus 18, see what God has to say here, Leviticus 18, verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity therefore upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. What's our Lord say about the church of Laodicea? You're not hot, you're not cold. Because of that, I'm going to vomit you out. I'm going to cast you out. and we look at these words here, we find that that also means straight into the fires of hell. That's where you're going. Because they followed the world and followed man. That's Leviticus. God's witness again started over 400 years before that. The nation of Israel had sunk into such a depth of sin. The land had utterly become defiled, and the only thing that could come to it was judgment. And one thing that we need to understand that we have no comprehension of, and that is that God knows the future. And he looks into the hearts and the lives of every individual that is in the city of Jericho. And you know what he sees? He sees complete wickedness, even in the hearts of the children. And he knows that there is not one of those children is ever going to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus. God knows that. And he knows the only thing that they're going to do is they're going to continue to be more and more wicked every day. And so that's the reason our God said, destroy them. Destroy them. This is not the first time that this has happened. What did our God do with Noah and the flood? Men, women, and children drowned in the flood. Noah, his wife, their sons and their wives is all that left that judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, his two virgin daughters. That's all that came out of that city. Men, women, and children died. How? By the hand of God. By the hand of God. And the reason is because of the wickedness. The wickedness. We better realize that God's hand of judgment could come on this nation at any time. We can't kill millions of babies. We can't destroy the family. We can't make men, women, and women men and expect God not to judge this nation. How is he going to do it? Is he going to put us under bondage of another? Maybe. It's time to wake up. It is time to wake up. Because when we read the scripture, we find that this nation that we live in is following the same pattern of the other nations. And every one of those other nations have fallen. Don't think we're exempt. Don't think we're exempt. So vile, so wicked in the sight of the Lord, he could no longer tolerate it. So Jericho stood in the barrier here, and Jericho needed to be eliminated. And so why did this little message here get in the wonderful book of Hebrews concerning the book of faith, the chapter of faith? Now let's think about this. This mighty warrior that stood before Joshua. He said, all right, Joshua, I want you to arm every man. I'm going to give you all the might you need, and you're just going to walk up there, and you're going to push the wall. It's going to fall down. That's going to be the size of it. What did this mighty warrior tell Joshua? He said, all right, Joshua, I want you to do some things. I want you to get some priests lined up here, and they're going to get these trumpets, and then they're going to get the Ark of the Covenant. You got to have the Ark, and so you're going to have the Ark of the Covenant. That's that piece of furniture that's in the final room there, in that last room. I want you to take that, and I want you to circle one day around the walls, just one day. Let's go back to the camp. Number two, around the walls we go. Third day, around the walls. There's a couple things happening here. Really just one. Nothing. I don't see the walls crumbling. I don't see the enemy running out saying, "We surrender, we surrender." That's for Israel. But how about inside the walls? Remember, God literally put fear in their hearts, so they shut it up. Everybody went inside the walls and feared this mighty group of people that was outside. And yet, what are they doing? They're blowing these horns, they're walking around, and they go home. Day two, they walk around and they go home. And day three, they walk around and they go home. What do you think they're saying inside those walls? Doesn't matter what's going on. But I mean, look at those fools out there. Look what they're doing. Do they think they're going to break through the wall by walking around it? And I wonder, do the Israelites on the outside, do they hear some of the laughter that's going on inside? Because, you see, that's where our walk of faith comes. When things begin to not make any sense, and the world begins to criticize and laugh at us, oh, Jesus is never going to come again. And for him to die on the cross and take our sin away, what is that? Let's rewrite this book a little bit. Let's make it make some sense. That's what the world says. And that's what the folks inside the walls of Jericho were saying. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. Day seven. Same thing. Only, instead of going it around once, they went it around it seven times. Seven times. And one of the most difficult things I see in this whole operation, the great commander, the Lord Jesus, told Joshua to tell the people, blow the horns, carry the ark, but don't speak a word. Don't speak a word. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, not one single word. First time around, not a word. Second time around, not a word. Third time around, not a word. They did seven times around. Now, what was the concern inside at this point? Things have changed. Something's different. And then they stop. Then they stop. And the command goes out by Joshua. Blow the horns. And then they shout. And the walls come tumbling down. And they go in and they kill every man, woman, child, and beast. Now we're going to cover what they're to take and not to take next week, because that kind of involves Rahab a little bit. Also got him in trouble. What did this do to the faith of these people? They had to walk by faith. Day one, day two, day three. How ridiculous is this? I want to do something. I'm a construction worker. I can start whittling away at that wall. I know we can get through there. But they didn't say a word. They went by faith. They were commanded by faith, and they walked by faith. And we need to do the same thing. Even though things in this life don't seem quite right sometimes, we need to walk by faith. Things are strange, so strange in the sight as the Lord's army that led by the priests with the trumpets and the Ark of the Covenant marching around the city. Many times our walk seems strange. Our walk doesn't seem to maybe have the direction that we think it should have. Remember what's lacking. What's lacking is the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And everybody the age 20 and above or 21 and above, I can never remember those numbers, whether it was 20 and above or 20 and below that lived. But all the rest died during that 40 years because of unbelief. Now, most of us live a full life. And is that life now a life that is a walk of faith? Or is it a life that is a walk of unbelief? Those 40 years were left out of the walk of faith because it was a walk of unbelief. A walk of murmuring. So we need to see that we don't waste our life. That we walk it each and every day. And then, let's watch the mighty hand of God perform miracles. The greatest miracle is salvation. Saving a lost sinner. There is nothing greater than that. And a person coming by faith to the Lord Jesus, recognizing that they're sinner and they're lost and need salvation. There's nothing greater than that wonderful miracle that God performs. But we're going to see other miracles. We're going to see God knock walls down that we never thought could be knocked down. But we need to walk by faith. Need to walk by faith. That's the reason that this is here, to walk by faith. And in that verses of scripture, the Lord tells the Joshua, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I will give unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. He shall compass the city, and all the men of war, and go round about the city once." Do that 6 days, gave him the plan, a walk by faith. A walk by faith. And we need to see that we too walk by faith. But that first walk of faith is to trust in the Lord Jesus. Don't miss him. Do not miss him today, please. That you see him, you walk with him. One made the statement that there are some sermons that are spoken, and there are some sermons that our God gave that are illustrated sermons. And so we have the flood, we have Nimrod's tower, we have Sodom and Gomorrah, we have the people of Korah, we have the Red Sea. And we have Ananias and Sapphira as they drop dead in front of the altar because they lied to the Holy Spirit when they brought their monies. Those are sermons of illustration. So is this. This is a sermon of illustration. God said, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to show you something. You walk by faith and you'll get to see it. And he did. Tore the walls down. That was the first step of faith that the nation of Israel did to take over the possession that they were promised. It's walk of faith. Next week we're going to do Rahab, and we're going to go back into an earlier part of Joshua there concerning when the spies go in and take a look at that. And then we'll look at what happened to Rahab after that. And so she doesn't just go away. And so, yeah, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can go come today and look at your precious word. Please, please, that we know you as our Savior. We walk with you each and every day. What a joy it is to walk by faith and then watch you work, Father. You've shown me so many times. It's such a blessing to watch you take care of things, do some things that they're impossible for me to do. And yet, Father, you take care of it. Please help us to be the witness. I pray that folks around us see who we are. We're different than the world. And that opens the door that we can share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, Father, with them. Please, Father, help us to walk by faith, not by sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.